Right now, thousands of brilliant startups are just actively funding their own bankruptcies.
Oh, yeah. We see it every single day.
Right. I mean, they have a phenomenal product, a really hungry founding team, and, you know, venture capital sitting in the bank,
Right.
but they're burning through that precious runway on marketing strategies that are basically built for Fortune 500 companies.
Exactly. And honestly, it's the most critical pivot point for any new business. Like, most startups don't fail because their software is buggy or their product is completely useless.
No, they fail because the actual financial mechanism of acquiring a customer is just fundamentally broken.
Right. They exhaust their seed capital trying to just guess their way into profitable marketing channels. So for this deep dive, consider us your personal board of advisors.
I like that.
We're extracting the absolute signal from the noise here. We're looking at the exact financial frameworks, realistic pilot budgets, and the specific specialized agencies you should be vetting when it is actually time to scale.
Because if you're looking at your own startup's balance sheet right now, you know you need to pull the trigger on marketing to grow. But who do you actually trust to execute it? Today, we are going to stop you from making that fatal misallocation of capital.
Absolutely.
We're breaking down a highly practical source article today. It's titled Scale Up Strategy: Top Digital Marketing Agencies for Startups. And here's where it gets really interesting. The source material doesn't just, hand us a directory of agencies and wish us luck.
No, it goes way deeper.
Right. It introduces this highly calculated agency first, in-house later framework. It completely flips the traditional script on how a founder should sequence their hiring.
It really does. But before we get to who you should actually hire, we need to unpack why the standard marketing playbook is actively dangerous for a lean startup.
Yes.
The source frames this beautifully with a really simple analogy. Comparing an established enterprise brand to a startup is like comparing peaches to pears.
Peaches and pears, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, they might both be in the produce aisle, but they are entirely different organisms. When a legacy agency takes on a Fortune 500 client, their mandate is almost always to build on existing momentum.
The brand awareness already exists in that case.
Exactly. A startup is in a totally different physical state. They are trying to generate momentum from absolute
I
zero.
was actually thinking about it like this. Hiring an enterprise agency for a seed stage startup is like hiring a massive stadium rock band to play like a cozy acoustic set at your neighborhood coffee shop.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
The scale is just all wrong. The enterprise agency brings, 18 semi-trucks of overhead, an entire pyrotechnics crew, a massive entourage.
And they just blow the windows out of the coffee shop.
Exactly, because their internal structure demands massive budgets just to keep their own lights on. But a startup just needs an acoustic guitar and a microphone to see if the song even resonates with the audience.
What's fascinating here is how founders fall into the trap that the source calls the logo wall.
Oh, the logo wall. Yeah, this is huge.
Right. You land on a slick agency website, and right there on the homepage is a banner featuring logos from massive global conglomerates.
Coca-Cola, Nike, Microsoft.
Exactly. And the psychology of that is incredibly powerful. It builds immediate trust, but the source explicitly warns startups to ignore those logos.
Why is that? I mean, it seems counterintuitive to ignore big success stories.
Well, because a massive corporate logo tells you absolutely nothing about the financial mechanics of how that agency handles a highly constrained budget.
Ah, right. Because steering a multi-billion-dollar battleship is just completely different from building a raft while you're already drowning in the water.
That is exactly the mechanism at play. Startups operate under extreme capital constraints, whether they're pre-revenue, meaning they literally haven't made a single dollar yet.
Right.
Or Series A, where they've raised a few million dollars, but they have a very strict, say, 18-month clock to prove their business model.
They're on a timer.
Yep.
So you don't need a partner who knows how to manage a $10 million Super Bowl campaign. You need a partner who can provide case studies from other pre-revenue or Series A companies.
You need actual proof that they know how to hustle, test rapidly, and basically create demand out of thin air.
Exactly.
So if these bloated enterprise agencies are off the table, I think the logical next thought for anyone listening is probably, well, I'll just do it myself.
Sure.
I'll take that capital, hire some really smart marketers, and build an in-house team from day one.
It's a very common instinct. And to be fair, the source doesn't dismiss it entirely. Building an internal team does give you employees who have incredibly deep product knowledge.
Yeah, they sit right next to the developers.
Right, they absorb the company culture, and there's no external agency markup fee. Every single dollar you spend goes directly into salaries and ad platforms.
And on paper, that sounds incredibly capital efficient. I mean, you can just walk over to the product team's desk and immediately hash out a campaign based on user feedback from that very morning. It sounds super efficient until you introduce the reality of the calendar.
Oof, yeah, the calendar.
The source cites a crushing statistic for early stage companies here. The global median time to hire a new employee is 38 days.
Wait, 38 days? Just to get a signature on an offer letter?
Just to get the signature. And the clock doesn't stop there. Add another 30 days for onboarding, familiarizing them with your software, and getting their first actual campaigns approved.
Oh, wow. So you were burning cash every single day during that process.
Every day. By the time that one single in-house hire is actually executing, you might have burned through a quarter of your year's runway.
This is where we have to look at the financial reality, right? If you're a founder, your runway is literally counting down.
TikTok.
While you're spending 2 months conducting interviews and negotiating salaries, an external agency could have launched your initial campaigns in, what, 4 days?
Exactly.
The source notes that a specialized startup agency immediately gives you search engine optimization, paid ads, content writing, and social media strategy all under one roof, instantly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we arrive at the absolute core of the source's recommendation. And that's the agency first, in-house later approach.
Right.
Because when you launch a company, your singular goal is achieving product market fit. We throw that term around a lot in this space, but fundamentally, product market fit means you've mathematically proven that if you put $1 into a specific marketing channel, you consistently get $3 back.
And you just can't hire an internal team to execute a playbook you haven't even written yet.
Exactly.
Like, if you guess wrong and you hire a full-time SEO expert, but then later realize your customers actually only convert through paid LinkedIn ads.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Yeah, you have to fire the SEO person, eat the severance costs, and start that brutal 38-day hiring clock all over again for a social media manager.
It's financial self-sabotage. Specialized agencies already have these playbooks. They've tested these exact growth channels across dozens of similar startups.
They've done the trial and error already.
Right. The framework is simple. Use the agency to absorb the friction of trial and error. Let them figure out which channels are actually profitable for you.
And
once the blueprint is proven and the revenue is predictable, then you systematically hire internal specialists to take over those established systems.
Okay, let's unpack this next hurdle. We're adopting the agency-first approach.
Yeah.
It mitigates risk. It buys us speed. But, I mean, the digital marketing space is notoriously crowded with charlatans.
Well, absolutely. Snake oil everywhere.
Right. So how do we ensure we're hiring a true growth partner and not just setting our pilot budget on fire? The source actually gives us a very rigid 6-point evaluation test for this.
It's an excellent defense strategy. Step one is all about defining the brief. If a founder approaches an agency and says, we need more brand awareness, they have already failed.
Because awareness doesn't pay the bills.
Awareness is a luxury metric for legacy brands.
Yeah. The source's gold standard example for a startup brief is razor sharp. It's not about awareness at all. It's about traction.
Right.
The brief should literally be, we need to go from 0 to 300 qualified demo requests in 90 days.
Now, that is a brief.
It has a hard number, a hard deadline, and a specific qualification.
And step two pairs directly with that, which is the pilot budget. The source advises a realistic starting envelope of about $3,000 to $10,000 a month for a startup.
Which is pretty reasonable.
It is, but crucially, you don't just hand that over on a permanent ongoing retainer. You structure it as a 60-day paid pilot on one specific channel.
Ah, so you're basically paying them to prove their playbook works for your specific software within an 8-week window.
Exactly. Prove it or lose it. Which brings us to the metrics. Step four is demanding revenue-focused reporting, and we need to be really clear about what that actually means.
Yeah, the source aggressively warns against vanity metrics. Things like impressions, clicks, or, you know, social media likes.
Because impressions don't make payroll.
Nope.
Let's look at the actual financial mechanism of customer acquisition cost, or CAC. This is really the only metric that matters early on. If you are selling a software subscription for $50 a month, but your agency is spending $60 in Google ads to get that one customer to sign up, you aren't growing a business.
No, you're actively subsidizing your customer's purchase with your venture capital.
Exactly. A true partner agency reports on CAC, conversion rates, and pipeline contribution. Not just, hey, look how much traffic we drove to your hook page.
Yeah, totally. Now, I want to look closely at step five, which is contract negotiation.
This is a big one.
The source advocates for a 30-day exit clause after the initial 90-day pilot and explicitly calls a 12-month lock-in contract a massive red flag. Now, I'm going to actually push back on the source here for a second.
Okay, let's hear it.
In the agency world, a 12-month retainer is totally standard practice.
Yeah.
Why is the source so militant about refusing this?
Well, look, an agency would argue that certain channels, specifically search engine optimization, they take significant time to yield results.
Right. Google doesn't rank you overnight.
Exactly. Google's algorithm takes months to crawl, index, and build authority for new content. You genuinely just cannot judge the ROI of a long-term organic content strategy in 30 days. So the agency wants financial security while they do all that foundational, unsexy work.
But I guess the source's framework resolves that tension perfectly, right? The source isn't saying the work doesn't take time. It's saying the contract shouldn't hold you hostage while you wait for it.
Dingo.
If an agency is genuinely confident in their ability to index that content over 6 months, they should be totally comfortable with milestone-based renewals.
Absolutely.
Because signing a 12-month lock-in before you've seen a single qualified lead is basically like getting married after a first date.
It's insane.
Agencies should retain you by continuously hitting agreed-upon traction goals, not by just waving a legal document at you.
And that demand for flexibility really leads into the final evaluation point, which is adaptability. A startup's only real advantage over a massive corporation is velocity. Right. If the agency operates with so much internal red tape that it takes them 6 weeks just to adjust the copy on a landing page, they will completely destroy your momentum.
So, okay, armed with a $3,000 to $10,000 pilot budget, a strict demand for CAC reporting, and an absolute refusal to sign a 12-month lock-in, where do we actually deploy this capital?
Right. Who do we hire?
The source provides a roster of top-tier agencies, but it makes it clear it's not just a menu to pick from randomly.
Far from it. The defining characteristic of a successful startup agency is extreme specialization. You really have to match the agency's specific architectural expertise to your startup's current growth hurdle.
Let's build a little narrative out of this for the listener. Imagine you're a startup that has just secured funding. You're building a complex tech platform.
Okay.
Your first major hurdle is that your marketing needs to integrate flawlessly with your software development. For what the source calls the tech and software builders, it highlights Scopic Studios and Elevato Digital.
Yeah, and the mechanism of combining software development and marketing under one roof is incredibly potent.
How so?
Well, Scopic Studios, for example, is actually the sister company to a software firm, and they heavily leverage AI-powered marketing. And Elevato Digital takes this all things web approach.
Okay.
If your customer acquisition relies on a deeply interactive web tool, having your marketing team isolated from your developers creates massive friction.
That makes sense.
Right. But when they operate together, the marketing data lake, say, exactly where a user abandons a sign-up form, that directly and immediately informs the product development.
It's a closed loop. But let's say your product is already built. You've launched a B2B software as a service, you know, a SaaS product.
Okay. Totally different ballgame.
Exactly.
Right.
The buying journey for B2B SaaS is fundamentally different than, like, convincing someone to buy a pair of sneakers on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
It involves long sales cycles, multiple stakeholders, recurring revenue models. For this specific scenario, the source points to Simple Tiger.
Yeah, Simple Tiger's entire operational model is hyper-focused on seed-funded SaaS companies. They specialize in AI search optimization specifically for B2B buying journeys.
Which is so niche.
It is, but they understand the mechanisms of how enterprise buyers research solutions. And that requires a completely different content architecture than a flashy consumer product.
Now, what if your constraint isn't just the marketing channel, but your actual cash flow? I love the financial mechanism behind this next one. It's Ninja Promo.
Ah, yes.
They are built for what we can call flexible subscriptions.
Yeah.
Instead of billing you per project, which creates these terrifying, unpredictable spikes in your burn rate, they offer a flat monthly subscription model for a dedicated marketing team.
It operates almost like a utility, right? Think of it like a water tap.
Yeah.
If you're a SaaS or a fintech startup, your need for design, content, and ad management is going to fluctuate wildly month to month.
Definitely.
So instead of hiring a new plumber every single time you need to adjust the flow, Ninja Promo's model lets you pay a predictable monthly bill, and you just turn the growth pressure up or down based on your immediate runway needs.
That is such a modern business model. I love it. But okay, once that cash flow is stable, and say you secure a massive Series B round of venture capital, the mandate changes entirely.
Now you need to move fast.
Right. You no longer just need steady growth, you need explosive, aggressive scaling. This is where the growth hackers come in. And the source highlights No Good and Thrive Internet Marketing here.
These agencies operate way more like data scientists than your traditional creatives. Like, No Good focuses heavily on conversion rate optimization or CRO.
Let's make sure we define that clearly for everyone. CRO isn't just about dumping more money into ads to get more traffic, right?
Exactly the opposite, actually. CRO is the science of analyzing the traffic you already have and removing the psychological or technical friction that stops them from buying.
Oh, interesting.
It's the rigorous testing of, changing button colors, moving text around, redesigning checkout flows so that a higher percentage of your current visitors actually click buy.
Making the most of what you have.
Exactly. And Thrive Internet Marketing operates on a very similar frequency. They are famously strict about avoiding vanity metrics, focusing entirely on measurable, full-funnel business outcomes.
Finally, let's pivot to a completely different type of startup. You aren't selling complex B2B software. You're launching a mobile-first consumer app.
Very different space.
Your biggest hurdle is user acquisition in an incredibly crowded app store. For these brand and creative-focused startups, the source points to Favored and Brolic.
Right.
Favored specializes in the exact mechanisms needed for apps, highly visual, cross-channel campaigns, and influencer marketing. Brolic, on the other hand, zeroes in on early-stage brand positioning. They basically help you architect exactly what your core message is before you pour gasoline on it.
This raises an important question for you listening right now. Which of these architectural models actually aligns with your company's DNA?
It's the million-dollar question.
It really is. If
Yeah.
you hire Favored to sell your complex enterprise supply chain software, you will fail. If you hire Simple Tiger to launch a viral consumer gaming app, you will fail. You aren't just hiring a generic marketing vendor, You are plugging a highly specialized module directly into your business engine.
You really have to match the tool to the specific friction point. We've covered a massive amount of ground here today, so let's synthesize this playbook.
Let's do it.
First, remember the peaches and pears. You are a startup. Ignore the massive corporate logos on an agency's website. Demand case studies from pre-revenue and Series A companies.
Essential.
Second, protect your capital from that brutal 38-day hiring delay. Adopt the agency-first in-house leader framework to mathematically prove your product-market fit before you ever take on full-time salaries.
Yep.
Third, enforce the six-point evaluation. Restrict them to a $3,000 to $10,000 pilot. Demand visual proof of your customer acquisition cost. Refuse 12-month lock-ins in favor of milestone renewals.
Don't get trapped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, pick the specialized module that fits your exact growth stage, whether that's the integrated development of Elevado, the utility tap subscription of Ninja Promo, or the data science approach of No Good.
I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. And it builds on the source's absolute insistence that an agency must be a strategic guidance partner who actively challenges your assumptions.
Yep.
Imagine you execute all of this perfectly. You hire a true growth partner. They run the 60-day pilot. They meticulously track the data, the customer acquisition cost, the pipeline contribution, the conversion rates.
Sound like a dream.
Right. And then they come back to you and report that your marketing channels are functioning perfectly. But the data prove that your product is fundamentally flawed and it's failing to convert.
Oh, wow.
Are you genuinely ready to hear that? Are you prepared to let an outside marketing agency rewrite your actual product roadmap based on the hard financial data they uncover?
That's a tough pill to swallow for a founder.
Because a standard vendor, they'll just nod, keep taking your retainer, and run more ads for a failing product. A true partner will risk the entire relationship to tell you that the product itself has to change.
If they're the acoustic act playing your coffee shop, are you really willing to let them rewrite the lyrics to your song?
Exactly.
That is the ultimate test of founder ego versus founder survival. So what does this all mean? It means you now hold the exact blueprint to scale up without burning down your runway. Use this framework, demand ruthless financial reporting from your partners, and let the actual data dictate your next move. Keep questioning the mechanisms and keep diving deep.